Blog Talk Radio.
Some years are better in show business. 1963, for instance, a year for new talent. In that 1 year, we were introduced to Coke Drunk, Barbara Streisand, the Beatles, a 13-year-old musical virtuoso called
Good morning, friend.
And Brookhouse's youngest son.
Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to
breaking.
What's going on, everybody? It's the Jimmy's Underground Radio Network, and we're going to do a special birthday tribute to my man, Stevie Wonder. We didn't get it off yesterday because we had a little special show with the Central State Marauders, but let's go start. Hit Marvin, Evan. Let's go.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
About to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, girl, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let our rejoice and rise high. Loud as the Lord's sea. Forever,
347-838-9825 if you want to call in and talk about my man Stephen M. Morris. Now, I'm going to do, like I always do, my bios, but this lady, Deborah Cole, sent me a video tape of something that her children did when they were in ninth grade. They're 10th graders now. And, you know, it was on her favorite songster, great composer, R. Beethoven of my century, Stevie Wonder. So I'm going to play her classroom's version of Stevie Wonder's biography. Then I'm going to go into the real version. Then play some Stevie Wonder. Happy birthday, Steve. I'm sorry I missed you yesterday, but, you know, I got you today, Stevie. This is all Stevie, all day, all the time. Here we go, everybody. This is the Stevie Wonder bio.
On May 13, 1950, in Saginaw, Michigan, a baby boy was born to his mother, Lula Mae Hardaway, and his father, Calvin Judkins. His father was there at birth, but not part of his life growing up. The newborn baby boy was named Stephen Judkins Morris Hardaway.
I can't give you any guarantee your baby has received two more oxygen.
Stephen was born prematurely and was then put in an incubator. Due to too much oxygen in the incubator, his eyesight was permanently damaged beyond recovery. Due to his blindness, Stephen's grandmother was afraid to let him out of the house. Therefore, to pass the time, Stephen would bang on pots and pans, the beginning of an amazing story with a talent for music. However, Stephen did get out of the house despite his grandmother's fears. And refusing to let his blindness handicap him, he lived just like a regular kid, playing games and climbing trees with his friends. Stephen and his family moved to Detroit, and that is where his musical career began. Stephen grew up listening to blues music. He taught himself to play many instruments before the age of 10. He also sang in the church choir. Some of his major influences were Duke Ellington, who Stevie said inspired him throughout his life, and Ray Charles, from whom people said Stevie inherited his soulful shouting and blindness. Stephen sang in back alleys and crowded street corners in Detroit. It was here that Ronnie White of Smokey Robinson's group, The Miracles, heard Stephen sing and decided to introduce him to Berry Gordy, the founder of Motown Records, who decided to sign him to Motown. It was here that little Stevie Wonder was born.
You got quite a voice on you, son. You want to be famous?
Yes, sir.
Drop out of the studio.
By age 13, Wonder had a major hit, Fingertips Part 2. This was a 1963 single taken from a live recording of a Motown Revue performance issued on the album Recorded Live, The 12-Year-Old Genius. The song, featuring Wonder on vocals, bongos, and harmonica, and young Marvin Gaye on drums, was a number one hit on the Billboard's Hot 100 and R&B charts, making him the youngest artist to top the former in its history and launching him into the public consciousness. Stevie graduated from the Michigan School for the Blind. He studied classical music.
Stephen Judkins.
In 1964, Stevie Wonder made his film debut in Muscle Beach Party as himself, credited as Little Stevie Wonder. He returned in the sequel released 5 months later, Bikini Beach. He performed on screen in both films, singing Happy Street and Happy Feeling, Dance and Shout, respectively.
Now, children of the surf, you think there are seven wonders of the world? Well, here's the eighth, Little Stevie Wonder.
Everybody come
Recording studio, Taurus Records. In 1968, he recorded an album of instrumental soul jazz tracks, mostly harmonica solos, under the pseudonym and title Yvette's Red Now, which is Stevie Wonder spelled backwards.
The album failed to receive much attention, and its only single, a cover of Elvis, only reached number 66 on the U.S. pop chart, and number 11 on the U.S. adult contemporary chart. Nonetheless, Stevie managed to score several hits between 1968 and 1970, such as I Was Made to Love Her, For Once in My Life, and Seal, Sign, and Deliver. I'm yours!
I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once I'm free, I can go and light this thing. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my heart used to dream of long before I knew. Oh, someone warm like you who would make my dreams come true.
Working at Motown, Stevie, age 20, met his first wife, Syreeta Wright, who had recorded 6 albums for Motown. With You, I'm Born Again, her 1980 duet with Billy Preston was her biggest hit. Stevie produced her first 2 albums. The albums were romantic and imaginative, softly funky odes to love and life. Stevie married Syreeta in 1970.
You know, a lot of people don't know this either, but Stevie liked to have people around him when he recorded in the early days. I mean, just the fact that someone was near them, near him, it gave him a sense of peace, and he felt that he could do what he needed to do. So he liked having people around.
Music continued to flow from Stevie, and in 1972, the album Talking Book featured the number one hit, Superstition, which became one of Stevie's biggest hits.
Superstition featured a rocking group that brought me a bigger audience on rock radio stations.
The Talking Book album also featured You Are the Sunshine of My Life, which also peaked at number 1.
You are the sunshine of my life. That's why I'm always with you.
During the same time as the album's release, Stevie Wonder began touring with the Rolling Stones to alleviate the negative effects from pigeonholing as a result of being an R&B artist in America. Wonder's touring with the Rolling Stones was also a factor behind the success of both Superstition and You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
Stevie and his band were the opening act on all but one show. People loved him. He was amazing.
Between Superstition and You Are the Sunshine of My Life, the two songs won 3 Grammy Awards. On an episode of the children's television show Sesame Street that aired in April 1973, Wonder and his band performed Superstition as well as an original song called Sesame Street Song, which demonstrated his abilities with a TV audience.
Hey Stevie,
huh?
You're so good. Can you sing a long note?
Long note?
A long note.
Okay, I have to take a deep breath to sing a long note.
Okay, go ahead. That was not long.
I gotta try.
Oh, you didn't do it yet.
Okay.
Harmony, and it used extended chords with you know, ninths and elevenths and thirteenths and diminished fifths. I mean, it was amazing. His melodies made this abrupt and unpredictable changes that just made his music outstanding.
Stevie got in a car crash on August 6, 1973.
I was just 23 when it all happened. I was driving with my cousin John to a benefit performance for a radio station when our Mercury Cruiser crashed into the back of a flatbed truck.
I was driving on Interstate 85 when it happened. Stevie was just listening to music when it all went down. I got distracted. It was a bad scene.
One of the more popular reports that still pervade books and the internet was that a log came flying off the truck, crashed through the windshield of Wonder's car, and hit him in the head, sending him into a coma.
Man, there was no log. That accident broke both my ankles and took me off the job for months.
Stevie was in a coma for 4 days, and the accident left him hospitalized for 2 weeks. He was left with partial loss of smell and temporary loss of taste. While in coma, many worried that Stevie was not responding. Then one day, longtime friend and publicist Ira Tucker found a way to reach Stevie by singing some of his previous lyrics.
Buddy, I miss you, man. You gotta come back. Everybody misses you.
People keep on learning. World keep on turning. But we keep on working till we get to higher ground. Oh my God, nurse, come in! Come in, look! Look!
Oh,
it is a miracle!
The only thing I knew was that I was unconscious, and that for a few days. I was definitely in a much better spiritual place than it made me aware of a lot of things that concerned my life and my future, and what I had to do to reach higher ground.
Celebrities offered their support to Stevie in his time of need.
Mr. Wonder, you have a phone call.
Yo, Stevie, Jack's surprises are your troubles, man. To extend the invitation to their private plane to fly you anywhere you need,
and
just say the word.
It means a lot, man. Thanks.
Yeah, if y'all tripping on, oh, man, my goodness. If you're tripping on the little kids in the background, this is a ninth grade documentary someone sent me about. That they did a Stevie Wonder. Now, I'm going to play a better documentary, but I thought the one these kids have done was extraordinary. You know, they're all white. That's the funny part, how many people touch down, how many people Stevie, how many lives Stevie touched, what I was trying to get out to say. And let me go on and get to part two of that. I just want to take a break, not a break, let y'all know that if you hear little kids and wonder what's going on, those are kids doing the Stevie Wonder bio. But I got a much serious one, but I figured this had a little music in it, and it kind of brought Stevie down to a humanistic level. Let's go to part two. You got it?
Once Stevie recovered, he jumped right back into the music, creating the song I Just Called to Say I Love You from the movie The Woman in Red.
No New Year's Day to celebrate. I just
Wonder received an Oscar for this song and decided to dedicate it to Nelson Mandela, thus banning his music in South Africa.
In his acceptance speech for the Oscar for the best song in 1985, Stevie dedicated this award to imprisoned civil rights leader Nelson Mandela.
And receiving the Oscar for best soundtrack for his I Just Called to Say I Love You, Woman in the Red, Stevie Wonder!
I'd like to thank all my fans especially, and without all of your support I couldn't have made it, and I'd also like to dedicate this to Nelson Mandela for his influential acts against apartheid.
What many music fans might not have known was during the 1980s, Stevie Wonder entered a phase of his career which was perhaps his most successful commercially. However, critics panned most of his work in this period, stating that it failed to live up to his previous outings. Stevie decided to help others through his music and activities. He fought against drunk driving, apartheid in South Africa, and hunger in Ethiopia through songs. His mini duet with Bruce Springsteen in the benefit song We Are the World remains as one of the weirdest yet most powerful and memorable music exchanges ever. Not the genius's best work, but maybe his most important. When politicians like Reagan and McCain opposed the national holiday honoring Dr. King, Stevie wrote a song that basically asked, "Are you serious?" He headlined the first official MLK Day in 1986.
But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. Is not free. Is not free.
Stevie met Dr. King when he was 14 briefly.
We are proud to say that Stevie was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1989.
Stevie, the youngest solo artist to achieve that feat, and is also the youngest individual to have been awarded with the Kennedy Center honor in 1999. Stevie's desire to help the world continued as tragedy struck the United States with the bombing of the World Trade Center in New York City. Stevie jumped to action and performed a benefit concert for the victims of the World Trade Center attack.
Stevie
I knew I had to do something. Our nation was in mourning, and the families of the victims needed support.
What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain.
Began experimenting with electronic instruments before widely used.
The result of his amalgamations of electronic and acoustic music, with unique rhythms and melodies, overlaid the poignant lyrics spanning every conceivable life situation, made him an absolutely pivotal figure in modern music.
Stevie is the father of 7 children from 3 different women. His first 3 children, Aisha Morris, Kaida Morris, and Kwame Morris, were from a relationship with an ex-girlfriend named Yolanda Simmons. The next 2 children were Mumtaz Morris and Sophia Morris, which were with another ex-girlfriend named Melody McCullen. Finally, his last 2 children, Kaylin Morris and Melanda Kajay Carl Steven Morris, were with recent wife Kai Miller Morris since 2001.
In 75, I was ecstatic with the birth of my daughter, Aisha, so I wrote the song Isn't She Lovely about it. I was truly in the wonder of the miracle of life, and I did not witness it with my eyes, but on a much deeper level, with my heart and my soul.
Lack of sight made him realize that there was a need to recognize the efforts of those that assist people with sight disabilities. With that in mind, Stevie Wonder created the Wonder Vision Awards that were still given today.
I want companies to keep coming up with new technology to help those with visual impairments like myself. Me, I take a car that I could use to get around. I might be a long way off, but I'm hopeful.
Stevie even guest starred on the popular Cosby Show.
How do you?
6.
How would you like to be on my new album?
Yeah.
What sound do you think a giraffe makes? Beautiful. I got you in my synclavia.
Over the years, Stevie has sung duets with numerous popular singer-songwriters such as Michael Jackson with song Get It, Julio Iglesias with song My Love, and Paul McCartney with the song Ebony and Ivory. His ability to continue to grow and change as a musician has led to his continued musical success.
Live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard.
He recently played a pivotal role in the election of Barack Obama to the presidency of the United States, performing and speaking at many rallies and offering his songs, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and as the theme of the campaign. In addition, he played a special concert at the London Memorial to celebrate the 2009 inauguration.
It was one of those days that you experience and you say, wow, this is just one of those days I will never forget.
You know, Mr. Wonder, performing for us on the Obama campaign, it was symbolic, you know, bringing people together when people of different faiths, thought processes, beliefs, and just everything. Come together and work together. We can be a better America, a better place to live. And God bless it. You know, Stevie Wonder, he was exactly what we needed.
You experience working for something that becomes a reality.
In 2009, Stevie was awarded the Gershwin Prize for Popular Music by the U.S. Library of Congress. Again, the youngest person to achieve this award, which was presented to him at the White House by President Obama. In addition, Stevie was commissioned by the library to write a classical piece in honor not normally bestowed on popular music artists. Today, Stevie can be found singing with a variety of artists such as Justin Bieber and Drake. And most recently, Stevie sang at Whitney Houston's funeral.
Eight months, ninth day, in 1963, we were blessed so incredibly with a sound so incredibly with his voice.
Stevie Wonder is without question one of the great personalities in music history. His powerfully expressive vocal presence, coupled with his musical elegance, forms part of the broad personal spectrum of irresistible music and compelling emotion, which is his personal hallmark. Stevie Wonder continues to awe and inspire people today with his joy and musical talent, seeing the world in a way no one else can.
Go.
Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, Kanye West, George Michael, Jeremiah Jackson, Michael Jackson, Alicia Keys, John Legend, Prince, and Beyonce all list Stevie as one of their major influences at the great power of artists.
Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed that little presentation I played. Thank you, Ms. Coles, for sending that to me. Thank you for listening yesterday. I'm glad you are a Stevie Wonder fan. Her class did that last year in 10th grade, and they did one on Michael Jackson. They said they're going to send me that, too. Let's take a quick commercial break here, and then let's do the documentary that they did on, I think, Biography or Annie Ebony. We can pull that up. And this is going to give you a better detail of Stevie Wonder's upbringing and his accomplishments from his Motown days. We're going to have people like Berry Gordy, his wife, starters, you know, people like that who help him bring up. Let's take a quick break. 347-838-9825. Jimmy's Underground Radio.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
Never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I've ever loved in my life. And though it's hard for me to show it, I've got to let you know it. 'Cause darling, I love you more each day. But the word got in my way. Oh,
can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop the bop. Bop it out of bebop. Bop the bop. Yeah, bass man. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Sound good. Yeah. Saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Superman was killed in Dallas. There's no love left in the palace. Someone took the Beatles' lead guitar. Have another Chevy's Regal. You're 12 years old and sex is legal. Your parents don't know where or who you are. Used to be the hero of the ball game. Took the time to shake the loser's hand. Used to be that failure only meant you didn't try. In a world where people gave a damn. Great big wars in little places. Look at all those frightened faces. but don't come here, we just don't have the room.
Let that neighbor's wife and daughter cleanse your life with holy water. We don't need to pay, we've got a few.
Used to be a light and shining father.
Didn't have to own a shiny car.
Dignity and courage were the measure of a man. Not the drugs he needs to hide the scars. Whoa, 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 whoa. Can you teach, you read? Don't you preach, you pray? Does your president have soul? Have you heard a real good ethnic joke today?
Mama took her seat
and Daddy ran away.
But you mustn't lose control.
Let's go to class.
I got some grass.
The kids are wild. We just can't tame them.
Do we have the right to blame them?
What the hell? They're too young to feel pain.
No, but I believe that love can save tomorrow. No, I believe the truth can make us free. Someone tried to say it, and we nailed him to a cross.
Used to be Stevie Wonder and Sherelle. Let me go ahead and continue this tribute to my man, Stephen Morris. Happy birthday, Stevie. I know it's yesterday, but we're getting down with you today, my friend. Here we go.
It's been over 30 years since his first number one, yet his music continues to fill the world with joy. His mastery of pop music is unquestionable. The extraordinary life of Stevie Wonder.
Hello, I'm Jack Perkins. Welcome. As with fine wines, some years are better in show business. 1963, for instance, that was a particularly good year for new talent. In that one year, we were introduced to Bill Cosby, Barbara Streisand, the Beatles, and a 13-year-old musical virtuoso called Little Stevie Wonder. Little Stevie was Motown's youngest son. He became the company's most constant hitmaker while managing to maintain complete control of his career. That was something the all-knowing Motown didn't look too kindly upon at first, but the result was some of the most innovative albums ever to come out of the label. And in the process, Stevie went from child prodigy to pop superstar. In this hour, Stevie takes us on a tour of his music and his phenomenal career. Join us as Biography presents Stevie Wonder.
Everybody come on, yeah, yeah, clap your hands. Yeah, everybody come on, yeah, 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 clap your hands, yeah. Come on, clap your hands, don't be. Get with the rhythm of happy feet, cause that's my dream, happy feet.
About the pop, sometimes I'm not getting.
Museum at Hitchville, USA, 2648 West Grand Boulevard in Detroit. We are located four blocks west of Lodge Freeway and east of Rosa Parks Boulevard. We are open today until 5 p.m., and our last tour will begin at 4:30.
I first met Stevie Wonder in this very room. I was standing here speaking with Barry Gordy, who was working on the controls. Stevie Wonder and one of the Miracles' little brothers walked into the building and walked right past this control room on down into the recording studio, which you can see out of the picture window. She was about 10 and a half years old at the time when started playing the piano. Then he started hitting on the drums, and he was just shaking his head and having a good time. Barry Gordy looked up from what he was doing, and he watched this kid.
He had great rhythm, great attitude. I could see he was blind. He was just moving his head, and he was playing and going and doing everything, and it was great, you know. But I was wondering, what's the big deal? Because I wasn't in the market for a drummer. But then he left the drums, and he started playing the bongos. And he did that, and it was okay. It was nice. And then he, of course, sung. He, you know, I wasn't thrilled with his voice particularly, but it was okay. He was good. And then he went to the harmonica. Now, that impressed me.
Young Steveland Morris signed a contract with an even younger Motown and was given a new name.
The name Stevie Wonder came about because people were saying, here's a guy playing the drums, the bongos, the harmonica, and all the stuff, and he was a little wonder. And people were calling him a little wonder, and the name just stuck.
Little Stevie Wonder soon became part of the small Motown family that included Mary Wells, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, the Miracles, the Supremes, and the Marvelettes.
Yeah. So I would hear various people working on stuff. I remember hearing the Temptations singing My Girl and Jared one time, hearing the strings being put on it. I was able to listen and enjoy it as a 14-year-old kid and listen to things that were coming out.
Detroit in the early 60s was a town dominated by the automobile industry, which provided jobs for the city's large black community. Barry Gordy, a former boxer turned songwriter, applied the same assembly line principles to Motown, called after the slang name for Detroit, Motortown.
I had this dream that I wanted a place called Hitsville, because Hitsville, that was a hip little name. Hits and Ville, it was a little factory that made hits. And my dream was that an artist could walk in to one door, just a normal kid off the street, and come out another door, a star. So the machinery, once they got in there. So there were producers, there were writers, there were, you know, the chaperones, the choreographers. Stevie had a lot of people around him. There was a great guy named Clarence Paul who took him under his wing. And Stevie had a teacher, a guy named Ted Hull, who was half blind himself, who really tutored him. Stevie's own mother was in the picture, and she was always there, Lula. So Stevie, being the little guy he was, right away got this sense of stardom.
I was Barry Gordy talking about Stevie on his way on his stardom. Let me go in there and get part two to that interview. Here we go. I'm going to get it loaded up.
We did not consider he was handicapped as far as being blind, because he did what we did. He did everything, if not better. Some things he would jump out a tree, jump off a roof, try to ride bicycles, walk off and leave us, hide.
Stevie Wonder's blindness was caused soon after a premature birth, the result of receiving too much oxygen, an accident for which his mother would not accept there was no remedy.
We had gone to various faith healers, various doctors, on and on and on, people digging in my eye, come on, what are you doing, come on, it's all right. And I remember one time I said to her, I said, you know, Mama, maybe God doesn't mean for me to see. And she said, well, you know, I mean, I was like, Mama, you know. But I said, you know, maybe God meant for me to be something else.
Oh, well, kiss me, baby.
The teenage Stevie Wonder began building a career, recording albums and touring with the Motown Review, and particularly on what was known as the Chitlin' Circuit, the segregated South.
You did learn some of the ways of the South, where they would have the races of people separated in the audience, in the balcony or down the stairs. Before Motown, the black entertainers could not stay in the hotels in which they performed, but we would not accept the engagement unless the act and their troupe did stay in the hotel in which they performed, and that did change that whole practice.
My first experience of knowing the whole color thing was my grandmother had passed, and we went down south, and there were kids that lived a little ways away from us, and their kid kept saying nigger, 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 something like that. That's nigger. I don't want a nigger. That's a nagger. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. And as it was explained to me, he's calling you a name, and niggers, because you're calling me black. And I felt bad about it, number one, because I didn't know what he's talking about. I couldn't see what he was, because he just thought he was just singing. I don't know.
Stevie's early albums paid homage to Ray Charles and jazz music, both of which he listened to on his local Detroit radio station.
I didn't have a normal childhood. I started in the business at 11 years of age, and a lot of the fun that I did have was with the very thing that I had been able to make a profession, and that is my music. But it was when I was 11 that I started, and then at 13 I had my first real big record. I guess the first time for a child my age to have a number one album and single simultaneously.
His first number one hit was Fingertips, recorded live when he was 12.
Thank you.
out the song and went off stage, the band behind him thought he was finished, and they started getting up to move away, and Stevie broke away and come back on stage and start singing, "Everybody Say Yeah, Everybody Say Yeah."
Say yeah!
He soon started writing songs, not only for himself, but for other Motown artists too.
I don't even know the words there. But he wrote some great words for that song. Really, I just wrote the music, and they liked that little part that I had, which was pretty simple song, actually. Chord wise.
That he has been really best at was imitating me. But Stevie has this sort of, hello, yes, this is BG.
I'm Berry Gordy. Everyone's Berry Gordy. He's ridiculous.
And he called my secretary one day and really caused a major concern. Edna Anderson is a real tough executive secretary who's been with me for years, and she knows everybody, and she knows people, and me being the chairman of the board, she screens all my calls, and no one can get through, hardly. This day, she said, she got this call, "Hello, Edna, okay, give Stevie $50,000.
Immediately, definitely, and a tape recorder as well. The kid needs a tape recorder. He's a fantastic writer, and he needs a tape recorder to work with."
And he hung the phone up.
As a teenager, Wonder became frustrated by his child novelty status.
When I reached 13, I thought that I was no longer little Stevie Wonder. And that's amazing, because at 13 was when they really were beginning to use that whole little Stevie Wonder thing. And they were trying to keep me young in age and the whole deal. And I'm saying, "I'm not Little Stevie Wonder. I'm Stevie Wonder."
As if to prove the point, his voice broke.
It wasn't that thing of where I woke up one morning and then all of a sudden it was like, "Hey, man, that fingertips thing is going to have to be taken off the, out of the repertoire because I can't sing it no more."
The story goes, Stevie called in there and was like, "You're Berry Gordy, you're treating the blind boy incorrect. We're going to sue you for $50,000 if you do not give him a tape recorder and writing better conditions." And he flipped on Berry Gordy. Stevie Wonder is just a genius. You know, he's just a genius. You know, and I'm fortunate. You know, everybody liked Mike. Mike was raw, but man, think what the world would be if there was no Stevie, everybody.
I had begun to do other songs, and for the most part, all of the songs that I've done since the beginning, I still am able to do. Okay.
Stevie Wonder had graduated from high school. He'd recorded 12 albums, he had 8 top 10 singles, and was not only writing but producing songs. His increasing desire to experiment musically was met with caution by Motown.
It was a sound which became a Motown sound, and that worked, and it started working. Now, and it was working for Stevie. And then when he started departing, then I became scared. And I got a lot more to lose now than I had to lose before. And I'm not interested in experimenting too much.
Also met a new musical collaborator, Syreeta Wright. They were married for 18 months.
He had heard a song that I had performed. It was written by Ashford and Simpson called I Can't Give Back the Love I Feel for You. That song was under a name called Rita Wright, and he wanted to meet the person that that voice belonged to, which was me. And he arranged for Paul Reiser, who was one of our top arrangers then, to introduce him to me. From that point, we went in the studio, and he produced, or was to have produced, a song on me called Win Your Love that we never did finish. He won my love, but we never finished the song.
Their partnership soon produced a million-selling hit.
I'm wondering if your love's still strong.
And what happened with Sign, Sealed, Delivered, we brought it into the A&R department, and another producer came in and heard it, and he said, that song ain't... okay? And so Stevie was, you know, doing his thing. He stopped, and this look of, we'll see about that, came. It was that kind of look he had on his face. It was such a determined and strong and powerful position that I felt him taking at that time.
We were in Detroit on his 21st birthday, and we had a little party for Stevie, and we sat at the table, and we were having so much fun. I left there that weekend, coming back to California. When I got here, there was a wire from Stevie's attorney disaffirming every contract that he had with Motown. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting with this man. We were having fun and everything was happy, and I know he loved me because he always showed love. We always had love, and this wire was there with no fur, nothing. And but it turned out, and I thought, surely Stevie's leaving the company. He disaffirmed everything. He's 21 now. He's going to go out and get bids from all the other companies, and he's going to leave the company. I mean, that's why else would he do this without telling me anything? And it just turned out that Stevie was 21, and he wanted to show me that he was 21 now, and he wanted a little respect. And he ended up making me pay him $13 million to sign up another whole new contract with him, which was unprecedented at the time, but probably one of the best deals I ever made.
A lot of people talk about the whole thing of me reaching 21 and everything happened and everything broke and everything this, and I begin to rebel. And really, it didn't start at 21. It started really, and it starts any time that I get bored with what I'm doing. I just have to say, okay, it's time to do something new, different now. So I had written My Sherry Moore at 17. I'd written Till You Come Back to Me, that later on Aretha Franklin did, as you know. So I'd done a lot of writing, a lot of songs, and I just felt that as much as I knew that Motown felt they were doing whatever they thought was best for my career, I had a feeling as to how and what I wanted to do.
We still have an understanding. We're still close. It's just that basically now, a lot of things that I want, and I feel that the only way that I can do what I want to do totally in my way of being the best way is to be free enough to do them.
Stevie Wonder battled with Motown for artistic freedom, freedom to write, produce, and evolve into the artist he is today. As far as he was concerned, his little Stevie Wonder days were over. When biography continues, Stevie moves to New York, starts his own company, and produces The Music of My Mind.
Hello, Jesus, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Hello, children, Jesus loves you, love America. Are you hearing what he's saying? Are you feeling what you're praying? Are you healing, praying, feeling what you stand by? You better tell your story back. And if you like it,
the experience that I had in New York was I met Bob Margoloff and Malcolm Cecil, and they both worked with a group that they called Tonto's Expanding Headband, and Bob and he worked together as Synthesis. There were other Synthesis that were very popular, but it was still new, you know, to most of the public. there was a great deal of resistance to the synthesizers. They thought that they were going to take musicians out of the business. The reason that I got involved or got into the synthesizer, the other reason was because I had ideas in my head and I wanted those ideas to be heard. And I could have Bob and Malcolm and various programmers that I've worked with kind of create from what I tell them I want to hear the sound of that instrument, and then I can play it and get what I want to from that sound. Was something that came from out of my mind right on to the drums that I was playing. So that's the first thing I put down was the drums. And then I played the clavinet, and I played another clavinet, and then I put the bass, the Moog thing on it, and then I did a demo vocal thing on it, and then I put some words on it. I put the horns on it. And, that's basically it. It was just, it was that emotional kind of thing that happened. The only thing, I remember it was one line I said, very superstitious, wash your face and hands. You know, I think that came from, I know, I was, wash your face and hands. Shake, smile, and there was a concert I went to, I went to a Sly and the Family Stone concert. The whole place was rocking, stupidly rocking. And I always wanted to have my concert be like that. I said, God, I know I will have really made it to the top when my concerts do that. And I never will forget, I was doing a concert. And there were lots of people came on stage, and we came to the Superstition, and the place was rocking. I was like, yeah, boy. I was like really excited. And I said, oh, I'm a star. Hey.
The 70s was a prolific time for Stevie Wonder. Music of My Mind was soon followed by Talking Book, which mixed love songs with songs of social comment.
Well, for me, like a song like a Big Brother, or even a song like a Village Ghetto Land, I just feel like, the melody of a song is what touches our heart. It makes you feel something in here. I say, your name is Big Brother. You say that you're watching me on the telly, seeing me go nowhere. It makes you feel, feel sad. It makes you feel how I want for it to make you feel and thinking about what the words are being said. My name is nobody, but I can't wait to see your face inside my door. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you got me all in the notebook, writing it down every day.
Stevie, first of all, has a unique voice, and he has a unique soul that feeds that voice. And he has all of, whenever he sings any song, it brings up the love, the soul, the feeling. That's one thing. Another thing is that his melodic structures are unique, and that comes from his chord playing on the piano. When he makes chords, there again, very few people can figure out chords. They just say, that's a Stevie Wonder chord.
Days after the release of his next album, Inner Visions, Stevie Wonder was in a near-fatal car crash.
I've always had feelings about God, and me getting my head bumped around definitely didn't make me like come to some sense about it. Obviously, I'm very thankful to be alive, and I'm very lucky to be alive. I'm thankful for that every day. As a matter of fact, there's like here a little thing, you know, on my forehead there, a scar, and it goes over there, and it kind of scar face like that.
Inner Visions went on to win multiple Grammy Awards, including Album of the Year. Success followed success with the release of his next two albums, Fulfilling This First Finale and Songs in the Key of Life. But his 1979 release of his first soundtrack album came in for some scathing criticism from a public unwilling for him to stray from a familiar format.
Heard people talk about the Secret Life of Plants as being I think someone wrote it's a bunch of rubbish, and you know, I've heard other people say that they really like it. And what happened, I think, with the Secret Life of Plants is when it first came out, it was right after Songs in the Key of Life, and it was in a sense the furthest you could get away from what Songs of the Key of Life represented.
A boy born in hot that Mississippi, surrounded by for world that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city.
There are people that don't want to hear about people talking about social issues. There's some that feel, you know, when you talk about these things, when you talk about your culture, when you talk about being happy about things, and some people don't want to hear that.
Freedom, yes. Apartheid, no.
The energy that had previously gone into his music increasingly went into political activism. He spent the early part of the 80s campaigning to make Martin Luther King's birthday a public holiday. During this period, Stevie Wonder more or less abandoned his recording career.
Somewhere I read, yes, of the freedom of speech.
Yes.
Somewhere I read,
yes,
of the freedom of press.
Yes.
Somewhere I read,
yes,
that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
It was a long process, and it was costly economically. because to a great degree, I kind of put my career on hold, and I wanted to really concentrate on making what I felt was going to be inevitable happen very fast.
And I'm sure you would agree that could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
The happy ending was the Hotter Than July album song of Happy Birthday. And when the Martin Luther holiday finally came about, it was just wonderful for everybody. And it made us so proud of Stevie. And I was sorry for every bad thought I had about his not delivering his albums on time, because what he had done was something so much dearer to my heart than another album and maybe making more money.
What could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on a day you came to be? Happy birthday to you.
Since the 1980 release of Hotter Than July, the flow of albums has slowed, but Wonder has strengthened his ties with his adopted city of Los Angeles through his involvement with KJLH Radio in LA's South Central.
LA's Rhythm 102.3, KJLH, Dr. Dre, Snoop Doggy Dogg, ain't nothing but a G-thing, baby.
Growing up, Steve always wanted to be involved with the radio station. Growing up in Detroit, as you know, it's close to the Canadian border, where you pick up an AM or FM station there, and you can hear different dialects, different tones. And there was two things I think he wanted early in life. One was to have his own radio station, and the other, his own band.
Places may vary in Alaska, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico.
102.3 KJLH.
Although we are primarily a radio station which plays music on the air, for this unrest that occurred in Los Angeles last year, we forsaken the music part to cover what's actually taking place in the streets. We covered what we saw from the disc jockey booths to what people had to say when they called into the station.
KJLH, thank you for bearing with us. You're on the special edition of Front Page. I'm looking at people yanking TVs and stuff out of stores.
You know, the sad part about those fellas, too, those are used old TVs.
And they don't work. They don't even work, man. They're just stealing them to be stealing them. It makes no sense. People are seriously getting injured looting. And that's what happened. People are ending up in emergency rooms with cuts from glass and other things. With no regard for the glass on the ground or anything.
What happened in Los Angeles was inevitable. The different things that happened. With the beating of Rodney King. Just because my skin is not the same color as you, that doesn't mean that just because I may not look like you, that I'm not your brother. Just because I don't look like maybe your next-door neighbor's son, doesn't mean that you shouldn't treat me as if I were your next-door neighbor's son.
You see, you don't know how militant Stevie was, you know. People just don't really know, and he's a very militant individual, you know, and that's why I'm going to be doing my little Stevie Wonder tribute. Just going to wrap it up. I see Frank Mobile checking in. What's up, Frank?
The troubled world of Los Angeles and beyond formed the backdrop of Stevie Wonder's long-awaited new album, Conversation Peace.
Thank you.
thought about conversation piece in a few different ways. One was I was thinking of doing a two-disc situation where one would come out as conversation P-I-E-C-E, and then a few months or however long later, a year later, then P-E-A-C-E. And I went back and forth on the thought of that, and then finally, most recently, I decided it would be the latter of the two ways. But this particular song, I'll let you hear the words, and also I want you to check out some of the music of it. Rain your love down, I beg, for human sake, for only you can get us out of this state. Rain your love down, rain on us, on all mankind, because we are out of order and so out of line. Down really is almost like a prayer that I do have about the world. You have an absurdence of hate groups in the world, bashing people of various colors, difference of color, difference of preference actually, and you just got a lot of craziness that's going on. I like whatever I do to be unique. I don't want to be a part of something else that someone else may do with somebody else, you know? And that isn't to take anything away from the producers or anything, but I'm just saying how I am. So I think the whole thing about being innovative and creative is just having a thing when you say exclusivity, exclusively me.
Mother, don't you understand my needs? Never had nobody bring me to my knees. I was feeling all for trusting. Had my gun down to the bone. But she did me wrong on a summer night.
That's all I got.
Wait a minute.
Second verse, man. That's all I got.
Same as the first.
Okay.
Take the first verse.
Oh, you
want to
help Steve, huh?
Yeah.
You
want to
help Steve
at
wonder.
Some of the high-tech audio gear and synthesizers Stevie was seen using in this program are no longer his. True to his generous nature, he recently donated $500,000 worth of recording equipment to the Duke Ellington High School of the Arts in Washington, D.C. During the presentation, Stevie talked about Duke Ellington, but he could have been talking about himself when he said his music was universal and brought joy to so many.
get Jackie.
With Jack the Violin in the background.
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony. Side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we? We all know that people. What we need to survive together.
joy and pain. But I'll be loving you always. And today I know I'm living by tomorrow. But make me the path for that I must fear. For I'll know deep in my mind the love of me I left behind. Cause I'll be loving you always. Always.
Yeah, so we're going to conclude our Stevie Wonder birthday celebration off with another song off that album, Love Is Needed Love Today. Thank you for listening in, Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network, and thank you for hitting that Charles Ramsey playback. I was just sitting there tripping with my friends from college, everybody, since I'll be get down. Good night, everybody. And may your God be with you, because mine is with me. All right, everybody, good night.
I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say couldn't mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. Is that love in need of love today? Don't delay, send your then right away. Hey, born round, breaking will lift